The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking a sip, we appreciate it. My name is Gil Alexander. That gentleman's name is Kelly Bidlin. I called you a gentleman, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Try to live up to it, would you? By the way, Kelly is not going to live up to it because we have a segment coming up after the first one here where I think Kelly's going to get very angry.
I'm getting very angry. Very angry this morning.
He's going to be very angry. He'll also give us some golf bets while he's angry. We'll try to get you angry first, and then we'll segue it into your golf bets.
So I'm yelling about Colin Morikawa. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm still angry about that. Doug Wedge, shout out, but we're back on Morikawa this week.
That's for the century coming up. We will. What Kelly's going to get angry about is the NFL Comeback Player of the Year Award. Because let's just say, you know what they told us, what they told folks they had to bet on or they had to vote on? Yeah, not so much anymore. We'll get into that. Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Booby Prize back in 2020, joins us. He is not only a football bettor, but he loves betting awards in every sport. And when it comes to the NBA, he did a super deep dive on both the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP, which has led him to some bets. So we'll hear what he has to say about that. Our NFL power rankings are final ones before the end of it all, before we segue into our playoff power rankings, which is a whole nother thing. But our final power rankings of the year. And then, of course, I saved the best for last. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, who I do not know if he's still alive in Survivor or not. His investment.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Because I don't know if I know up through Thanksgiving, up through Christmas, he was on the Seahawks versus the Bears. So my invested entry was out. His was still in. But I do not know if he was one of those on the Colts this past week.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Rooting for Bill.
20% he has of an entry. That's not.
Yeah, that is. That's not
small change.
Ain't nothing.
That's right.
I'm still waiting for the day, by the way, that we start this Thursday show and then at 8 o'clock, Bill just doesn't show up because
it has never happened.
I know, but like we don't like regularly talk. Right, we only reach.
Oh, no. He texted me last night. He goes, "We're still on for 8 tomorrow." I'm like, "Yes, absolutely."
Yeah, yeah. The communication is not. We just count on Bill. We count on Bill being here.
Oh, he's well, you know,
as he always is.
If he were here, you know what he would say right now? He'd be like, "Well, for all the money you're paying me, of course I'll show up."
Hey, we got that parking pass, Crack.
We got that parking pass for you. Let's not get crazy. We have to start with college football. Yesterday, we ended up with 2 of 3 games. The Notre Dame-Georgia game, of course, in New Orleans, postponed till today. I say, of course, now because you know that it's postponed. We did not know that when we were on the air here yesterday. Obviously, the prudent thing to do after the tragedy on Bourbon Street the night before last, we're, I believe, 15 confirmed dead now. Just obviously the right thing to do to make sure everything is intact. And swept, as they say, for that game today. So Notre Dame-Georgia, an afternoon game today to complete the quarterfinals. There is a random bowl game after that, Ole Miss against Duke as well. We also, I don't know if you saw this.
Wait, what time? I think 7 Eastern, right? Isn't it 4 Pacific?
The Notre Dame-Georgia game?
Yeah.
Am I incorrect about that? I thought it was an afternoon game.
No, you were right. Yeah, no, you were right. Okay.
Once again, Kelly.
Once again. 1 o'clock Pacific time.
478, no. In our little on-air questionings.
I don't know what I read.
It was the, you know, so it was also weird. This has nothing to do with anything, but you and I, when we leave the studio, yesterday was just a weird day. Obviously weird. That was tragic.
Yeah.
But also, we take, both of us happen to take Dean Martin. For those who aren't familiar with Las Vegas, there's the Las Vegas Strip, which you are familiar with. But then running parallel to it, just west of the Strip, is Dean Martin. In between the Strip and Dean Martin is the Trump International Hotel. And when I drove out of here yesterday, as I do every day, I take Dean Martin, and that road was blocked off. There was a police presence, and there was a whole bunch of people on the corner. And I, you know, you take note of a police presence and a road blocked off and then a whole bunch of people. And I'm thinking, is that a bus? Like, I didn't understand. I was like, is that a bus stop? And there's people are waiting for a bus. Like, I didn't understand what was going on, only to find out, of course, there was an explosion outside in the Cybertruck outside of Trump International.
Yeah, I drove by it, too. I probably left here about 10:30. So, probably an hour after you or whatever it was. And, Yeah, by the time I drove by, they still had the whole street closed off. But you know, as you and I were texting, it was like there was probably only three cop cars when I drove by. So I was kind of confused what was going on. And then, man,
well,
get home and see those videos, too. Just awful.
Yeah, we try to be a little distraction from all of that. So we'll try to do that again today. But obviously, we understand contextually, context of which none of what we talk about here is quite as important as what went on in New Orleans. And so we speak on football and betting in that vein. Let's put it that way moving forward. Yesterday, though, about those football games, let's start with the second one because it's easier to just talk about this quickly. And Savannah already in my ear, who is a Oregon alum. She did her $100 New Year's Day gift on her future on the Oregon Ducks. Well, and she said in my ear, she goes, "I'm never betting again." Like, it's not even your money you're betting.
Yeah, like, most significantly, got done with work yesterday, drove to Pasadena, made it there just in time for kickoff.
Oh, she did.
And is back working this morning, so.
Well, sorry to hear that. The star of the game yesterday, who was the star of the game? Was it Jeremiah Smith or was it Stormy Bonatoni? It was one of those two.
Gil, I can honestly tell you, I did not watch long enough to even know.
Because you were on Oregon?
I was on Oregon, and that game was so out of control so quick. Like, what was...
34-0 before you could catch your breath. And Ohio State ends up winning at 41-21 going away. And the Buckeyes, based on their performance this week against Oregon, which a lot of people thought was the de facto national championship anyway, and their taking down of Tennessee last week, Ohio State becomes your short shot to win it all now, heading into the semis and the final. They are, what, plus 120 now, according to the current odds. Obviously, we have a fourth semifinal place to determine today, but they will play Texas. They have already been installed. Remember, you cannot bet on anything until the line is installed. They are installed as a six-point favorite against Texas. By the way, Jeremiah Smith, last thing about this game.
He's pretty good.
First of all, Will Howard, 17 of 26 for 319. Jeremiah Smith, 7 for 187 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I just, so that we are not prisoner of the moment, can I just juxtapose this against 3 years ago? Because Jeremiah Smith, as great as that wasn't even close. Do you remember the Jackson Smith and Ajigba Rose Bowl three years ago against Utah? 15 catches for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's the greatest game of a college game I've ever seen of a wideout. In fact, I tweeted that day, and then remember Jamar Chase the next day for the Bengals just went crazy.
I will say the one thing I'm getting a little tired of, specifically with the Ohio State wide receivers, because I feel like it's the same story every time. It's like some reporter talking about, like, well, I talked to these guys in the locker room. They said they're not even the best wide receivers on the roster. This has been like a running thing for like 6 years now.
I brought that up. Like, there's no way to answer this question because some of them are in the pros and some aren't yet. Yeah. But, you know, if you
remember, they were all saying that about Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Well, and then Jackson Smith and Njigba.
McLaurin, Wilson, Olave, Smith and Ajigba, and then you have Marvin Harrison Jr., you have Jeremiah Smith. Who am I leaving out? That's what, did I name six already? Like, how
I think
do
you got them
how
all
do
recently.
You how do you even like stack those guys up?
Yeah, no idea.
So Ohio State, what can you say? I mean, just that they look as great as possible, and or as the average Ohio State fan will respond to that performance yesterday. Yeah, but what about the Michigan thing? Okay, before that, obviously, was the game that we almost had the outright upset, and perhaps we should have. We don't know that we would have, but Arizona State giving Texas all that they could handle. They were on the cusp of the victory in this one. They were down. So Texas was up in this game 24-8 in a game that, quite frankly, they were kind of getting outplayed in. They were still up 24-8 because they had a great first drive, which lasted two plays, and then a punt return for a touchdown, and they just kind of rode that most of the game. They're up 24-8 in the fourth quarter with 10:17 left in the fourth quarter. Then ASU goes 10 plays, 75 yards, including a 4th-and-2 conversion at the Texas 42 Scatabo passing to Malik McLean. 2-point try good. That made it 24-16. Then Ewers throws a pick downfield to Juwan Robinson. ASU takes over with 5:37 left, down 8. Levitt to Scatabo for 62 with a face mask tacked on. After a PI in the end zone, Scatabo in from 2. 2-point try fails, but a hold on defense. And then Scatabo in from the 1.5-yard line, if you will. And we were tied at 24 with 5 minutes left. And in case you missed it, wow, was this unbelievable after that. So Auburn misses a 48-yard field goal try wide right for Texas. So ASU with the ball, tie game. They have a 3rd and 15 at their own 38. Levitt to Melquan Stovall for 10. Helmet-to-helmet hit. No targeting call. They go to look to see if it's targeting. I don't know about you, but when I'm waiting on this, I'm convinced it's obviously a target.
Yeah.
Arvis, obviously it's targeting. They come back, they say no targeting.
I was working out at the time, so I'm watching the game on mute, and I'm like, well, I have no idea what's going on right now. Because they came back, they called no targeting. I'm like, what? How is that not targeting?
And they're forced to punt. By the way, do we have the SVP thing? This is on SVP yesterday. Said, I don't care who it is that's targeting 100 times out of 100. It wasn't called in this case. And Dusty Dvoracek said, I thought it was targeting in the moment. I picked up the phone, made a few phone calls. I talked to Bill Lemonnier, who I think is one of the absolute best, works for us at ESPN ABC as a rules expert. And he said verbatim, quote, it's a defenseless player. There was an upwards thrust indicator, forcible contact to the head or neck area. It's targeting. Now, they had to punt. ASU did. Texas took over at their own 20 with 57 seconds left. So there's still no guarantee that ASU would have won there, but still would have loved to have found out. Texas takes over. And Auburn gets a 38-yard field goal try. He doinks it off the left upright. And I think everybody, I tweeted, justice. Good. Because now we can talk about who can win this game sort of fair and square. We go to OT. ASU converts a 3rd and 14. They end up scoring. Scatabo in. Texas then gets the ball. They need a touchdown to tie it. They end up with a 4th and 13 at the 28 after a false start. Yours to Matthew Golden in the end zone, tying it up at 31. And then you kind of knew. You kind of felt like the writing was on the wall. And sure enough, Texas first play of the next overtime to Helm with a 2-point try. Once they got the 2-point try, you knew this was over. And then Levitt throws a pick. 39-31 Texas. What could have been. ASU gets the money, though. ATS, congratulations to all who had that. What a football game that was.
I can't believe Sark at the kicker's face. You're going to do great here. Going to do great. Clank!
I'm sure that conversation really helped. We'll come back. Kelly's about to get very angry. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest. And that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. You can follow Kelly, by the way, on Twitter at Kelly Bidlin, KelleyByDlon. You follow me at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the tweets, which we'll get to on the show.
For more Sark jokes. That's all I was tweeting yesterday.
Sark jokes.
Just in the kicker's face. I've never seen anything like that.
Savannah's not going to like this, who's behind the scenes here, nor is any Oregon fan. But did you see how everybody was making the same joke yesterday when Oregon was getting blasted by Ohio State? Everyone was like, I don't know why the committee let them in. You know, their only real win was, you know, what, a couple points against Ohio State. And then, yeah, not much after that. And people are like, am I doing that right? Am I doing the whole committee thing right?
Am I doing that right? Yeah.
We're going to have to, I don't know how we're going to get your golf picks because you may get very angry here. First of all, before we get to what it's going to make
you
angry.
We got plenty of time. Tee time's like at like 12:45 Eastern.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah.
First of all, before we get to what's going to make you angry, did you see that in the NFL Defensive Player of the Year market that Patrick Surtain all of a sudden is the favorite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, flipped a big time after. When did we talk about Tuesday?
Minus 200. Did he not just give up the winning touchdown in that game against the Bengals?
I have absolutely no idea.
Minus 200, TJ Watt plus 170, and then everybody else is double digits. Kirby Joseph, by the way, at 10-1 is the shortest of the double digit.
See, like that's where I know it's, and I know that I've gotten a couple tweets about like Kirby Joseph's got to be the guy because what, he leads the league in interceptions, right? I believe, but like we're not talking, me and you've had this conversation before. Unless you're threatening to break interception records, I just don't think we give it to those guys anymore. So I don't know. I mean, Patrick Surtain's going to get the nod because of the Denver defense in general.
I don't know. I keep getting texts from my Dolphins buddy Reza, defensive rookie of the year, because Jared Verse is minus 2,000 in that.
Yeah.
And then you have Quinyon Mitchell at 8-1. And then Chop Robinson, his buddy, because he's a Dolphins fan, at 30-1. And he just texts me every Chop Robinson, y'all are biased. Chop Robinson to be the defensive rookie of the year. And I'm like, oh, we're the biased ones. And Chop Robinson's having a great year. But like any Dolphin that does anything good, he thinks they should win the award. So he's 30-1. So I just keep telling him, I'm like, so bet it then. So bet it.
I actually don't. You were reading me some of those, the text exchange the other day. I don't think he's completely crazy.
Like, no, he's not completely crazy.
He'd probably be.
So I said to him, so bet it.
He'd probably be number two behind me. Like, I don't really get the other, like, Quinion Mitchell. Like, that's you're awarding, you're giving him an individual award for team defensive play.
Then he says to me, he goes, yeah, I'm not betting it because the media is biased. I'm like, okay.
I mean, we're going to talk NBA awards soon, but it's like, isn't this the anti-Gobert argument all the time? Like, you're going to give him an award for how good the defense was.
So here's what's going to get Kelly very angry. And by the way, justifiably so. Justifiably so. So remember Aaron Schatz. Aaron Schatz, who's the creator of DVOA, founded Football Outsiders. Now he works at FTN. He comes on the show all the time. Great guy. He told us last year when he came on the show before the Super Bowl, he goes, hey, guys, because, you know, DeMar Hamlin didn't win this thing. The NFL is going to change the comeback player of the year award criteria.
I thought it was even before the voting. Wasn't it? Weren't we talking to him when on the I think he said this to us on the show. Maybe. Not even when we were in out to dinner. And
maybe.
Stuff
like that. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because I think there was confusion even at that time.
Right.
What are guys going to do with this award?
So, and he was right, they did. So the NFL changed the comeback player of the year criteria to say this, quote, the spirit of the AP comeback player of the year award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming, ready, wait for it, illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season. The decision to provide this guidance was made last December, but could not be implemented for the 2023 awards because the season was almost completed. That was their way of saying, so it doesn't count for this DeMar Hamlin thing, right?
Right. So okay. They talked about this a year ago.
That's correct.
Over a year ago.
Okay. So we, having these guidelines, we're operating under the assumption that someone like, I don't know, let me just throw out a name, Sam Darnold, couldn't win this award, right? Because he did not overcome, let me read it again, illness,
no.
Physical injury,
no.
Or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season, other than not being chosen by the coach to play.
Correct. He was chilling on the bench in San Francisco.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we got word here. This is from the AP, which controls all these awards. This is for NFL Comeback Player of the Year. The AP says, if any of the 50 voters, and remember there's only 50, if any of the 50 voters send in a Comeback Player of the Year ballot with Sam Darnold's name on it, it will not be thrown back. The AP has confirmed that ballots containing the name of the Vikings starting quarterback will not be rejected. By the way, the October statement from the AP still has said this, quote, we have given voters the criteria and will follow up regularly to make sure the guidelines are clear. We expect voters will follow the criteria and the award recipient will meet the criteria. They said that 2 months ago.
They said that 2 months ago, Gil.
You have anything to say about this, Kelly Bidlin?
We expect. And Pro Football Talked did a great article on this yesterday. Because what does all of this mean? I'm actually okay with, okay, it's year one. It's your ballot. You want to write whatever name down for whatever award, fine. I don't care. You want to put Travis Hunter on their ballot already for Defensive Player of the Year? Sure, because none of the rest of this makes any sense either. I'm okay with them still accepting it. But then there has to be something fixed with the voters who submit those names this year. Like, you cannot set rules, have voters break the rules, and then keep those voters around.
Well, they speculate in this piece, right? They say the criteria, as previously interpreted by the AP, exclude Darnold. So what? This is now voters talking out loud, right? Mm-hmm. So what if we don't follow that criteria? Will we be dumped from the voting next year?
Should be.
And how can they guarantee the winner will meet the criteria if they're accepting votes that don't meet the criteria?
Which are excellent points. I don't know if Florio wrote that article, but excellent points, whoever wrote it.
Okay, so put it all in the wash. The AP basically is taking a leap of faith, a roll of the dice, if you will, that voters will actually comply with their guidelines. And at the same time, they're saying, yeah, but we'll accept ballots if they don't meet the guidelines. So by the way, the final numbers on all this, if you're wondering when does this actually get announced, February 6th.
The other thing this tells me, Gil.
Yes.
Which makes me a little, I've brought this up multiple times because I think there's an obvious winner here. But
by the way, the odds, Joe Burrow -175, Sam Darnold now +120. Everybody else, double digits.
Major adjustment here. What was he, minus 500 earlier in the week, Burrow? Major adjustment.
Sure,
but the,
it was.
But you know what that tells me, too, this reporting yesterday and some of the stuff that comes out, is that clearly the AP has checked in with voters, or voters have checked in with them to ask about this because Darnold is their pick.
That's exactly right. As they said that they will keep checking in to see if voters are meeting the criteria, obviously there is an ongoing dialogue of some sort where maybe even the AP is precipitating the dialogue, and the voters are having to say, no, I get that, but
yeah.
What if I wanted to, can I vote for this one guy, Sam Darnold?
Yeah, am I going to be punished? Probably
and then
question.
What happens to me if I do? Oh, you're accepting it, but then you might kick me out? Could that happen? Right. It's a whole thing. So I'm just saying, we bet on this stuff.
And I know we went crazy about this earlier. There's only two names on this list that apply. It is Joe Burrow and J.K. Dobbins. If you want to tell me you're making a J.K. Dobbins bet, fine, because he actually meets all the criteria. DeMar Hamlin does not meet the criteria of the new rules either. He was a healthy scratch last season.
Yeah, though you could give it to him as a nod to how
okay,
you
now if you just asked me, Kelly, as a football fan,
yeah,
would you rather see Sam Darnold or DeMar Hamlin win this award this year? It's not even close. Of course, it's DeMar Hamlin still to me.
This comes back to my point from a couple days ago, which is regardless of how we feel or how you feel about how you're going to vote on each of these things or how you're going to bet these things, how you would vote, how you are going to bet or not bet, we all can agree there are not enough awards to go around this year, right? So now if Joe Burrow, think about it. So Offensive Player of the Year, people already have sort of earmarked for Saquon.
Yep.
Comeback Player of the Year, we kind of had it for Joe,
mm-hmm.
but now maybe not. And so Joe Burrow, it's just going to be easy for everybody if they don't make the playoffs. Cincinnati doesn't make the playoffs, and they still need help, right? Cincinnati has to win. Both Denver and Miami have to lose for Cincinnati to make the playoffs. So Burrow's going to be the odd man out on all this? Is that what I'm thinking?
So, no, I don't think so. I think the lazy voting way anyways, if you're the lazy voter, it's like you said, there's too many good players to give awards out to, then it's very easy to give this to Joe Burrow because he actually is coming back from an injury.
Are you going to make angry spite bets on Joe Burrow?
Well, let me finish, Gil, because let me finish. Joe Burrow not only would be the lazy voter, but he's also the clear-cut should-be winner of this award, meeting all the criteria and having significantly better statistical seasons than the rest of the guys on this list. At minus 175, if Las Vegas would let me bet any of this, I would bet this.
That's the one other problem.
I texted you before the show. The problem is I hate this award, and how many times have we talked about it? I know I'm going to lose. DeMar Hamlin or Sam Darnold is going to somehow win this award. It's not going to make any sense, and I'm going to lose money because if I can actually bet it at minus 175, I'm going to, Gil.
Man.
And it might require me getting in the car and driving down to Arizona today, which is going to make me even angrier when I lose this award in 2 months.
Are you here to see one of America's most amazing engineering marvels, the Hoover Dam? No, I'm not. I'm here to bet Joe Burrow for Comeback Player of the Year. Oh, when Nevada gets legalized sports betting, this is going to be a hell of a state. Michael Montesano on NBA Awards next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to take your tailgate to a whole nother level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouthwatering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Flavor this good is just a click away. We get tweets at Bean in the Book. Y'all are the best. Absolute best listeners of the game. Nick Kendhammer. I was meaning to ask, Gil, as a first-time Christmas tree owner, have you taken it down yet, or do you have new decor in your place in San Francisco? You thought taking it up the stairs was bad. Wait till it's dying and going downstairs. So I have been told.
This is best tweet of 2025 so far. That's a great question. Is it still there?
It is still there.
And you have plans to get rid of it because he's right.
I don't have plans, but Deborah Song, fashion stylist, informed me yesterday that I will be taking it down the stairs tomorrow. And that there will be needles everywhere.
I highly recommend this app. It's called Thumbtack, just for handyman around the area that you can hire for different things. You might want to look into it.
Thumbtack?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I can hire someone to do
that
for me?
Yeah, you could definitely hire someone.
I'm going to take it down. I want the experience once, just so I can
just so I can
fetch
about it.
Yeah. Ollie Keynes, it'd be great to get your thoughts on how best to hedge a Sam Darnold comeback player of the year award. Given the recent price moves, I have him 25-1, 22-1, and 20-1. Thanks. Oh, you don't have to brag.
Well, I can answer that one for you. Load up with everything you've got on Joe Burrow.
I mean, if you believe it is a choice just between those two, that's the only answer to that question.
You're right. Don't listen to me, because who knows? DeMar Hamlin will just win it and whatever.
The silent Mike D. The game is today at 3 p.m. Central. That's for one of you guys. That's for you, Kelly. Ryan Hyatt,
at 4 o'clock. Just depends what time zone.
Less than 15 minutes into the new year, and Kelly's already questioning the veracity of Gil's statements on a numbers game. It's going to be a fun 2025. Happy New Year's, guys. He keeps doing it. Gibby, I was fortunate enough to meet Todd Wishnev in the wild yesterday. He was a really nice guy. Happy New Year to everyone. Wow. Todd outside of his natural habitat, which is his mom's cork attic. Abe Garcia. Okay, I'll just read this one, and then we'll get to Mike. Abe Garcia. At the Abe Garcia, says the targeting is only magnified because of the moment, he said. Where was the targeting on the Ewers interception where the DB launched himself into a defenseless wide receiver? No outcry there. Good no call. Abe, I gotta say, man. Doug Gottlieb, this is a cousin of what you're saying. Doug Gottlieb yesterday saying, yep, it's targeting. You just can't call it in that situation. There is nothing that bothers me more than that mentality.
Me too.
Now, Abe, Abe, you're saying it's not targeting at all. I get it, because it was called differently. That's your opinion on that. But what Gottlieb, you've triggered what my memory of what Gottlieb said yesterday. That drives me up the wall. That is such a brain dead way to adjudicate things. Well, it's like the Orlovsky thing, not Orlovsky, pardon me, the Brock Osweiler thing, where it was the Florida State game, and there was a clear PI, and he's like, well, you can't call that in a rivalry game. It's like, so the rest of the game, we're just making fun of Osweiler. So, I can't call that in a rivalry game, Brock. It's just a brain dead mentality. Yes, you can. You don't change the rules based on the circumstance of the game. And then finally, Trip Tepper. Love AP voters passively protesting the comeback player of the year. Just let the voters decide what comeback means to them without manipulating the criteria. No different than interpreting valuable in MVP. Michael Montesano joined us, ladies and gentlemen. He was the Circa Booby Prize winner in 2020, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Even that last tweet, though. No. Like, no. Because the most valuable player doesn't have specific rules written down of what you have to, what boxes you have to. I'm sorry, Michael. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Mike, well, by the way, we'll take the whole segment.
It's like the MVP debate from Joker from when Embiid won it. Oh, we can't give it to Joker 3 years in a row, so we're just going to give it to Embiid. Like that mentality. Brutal.
And the Wembanyama, the criteria they will use for Wembanyama last year that they'll never use again in future years, where it's like, oh, well, you know, best player, best team on defense, that kind of thing. Anyway, you did a deep dive on this. Maybe we'll have our thinking changed. Yeah. With NBA Defensive Player of the Year and NBA MVP. First of all, what inspired you to do this?
Tom Tango from his Cy Young predictor. Using his predictor, it helped me this year with Luis Gil to win Rookie of the Year and Chris Sale to win National League Cy Young. So there's a lot of value I believe you can find during the season in these awards by using certain predictors. Like he's got his own model, I believe. I think Cleve T.A. did like an NFL type of thing. And I said, well, let me just do a deep dive. Because we were so adamant about Wemby winning Defensive Player of the Year last year. So let me go in, let me dive into some statistics. Let me dive into some rankings and just kind of use basic statistics from Basketball Reference and team rankings and see what I could come up with. It took me a couple of days to go through this stuff and, I think we can extract some value from it.
Okay, so what did you base this on, and the metrics you based it on for Defensive Player of the Year? What did we learn about Gobert winning it last year, and who would you bet on this year?
So the four basic metrics are, and you got to listen to the voters, and I did a good job listening to voters last year, is, well, we can't give it to Wemby because the team defense is not that good, and they weren't that good last year. They were 22nd, according to on defensive total team defensive efficiency by team rankings. And Gobert, they were number one. I also use individual player ratings, the individual defensive ratings, and you can find that at Basketball Reference. I use player defensive win shares. You can find that at Basketball Reference. And I also use defensive box plus minus. So what I did was I just went through and just kind of ranked all the players, the winner and the runner up. I didn't really do a deep dive into third and the fourth and the fifth place. But if you look at Rudy Gobert last year, the one category that I was harping on was defensive box plus minus. Rudy Gobert finished 10th and Victor Wembanyama finished second. Well, if you go through all the years, the last 10, 15 years, that's probably the least category that voters are looking at.
They don't care. I think, yeah,
they don't care. And they're looking at individual defensive ranking. Rudy Gobert was number one. Team defensive ranking. Rudy Gobert was number one. Player defensive win shares. Rudy Gobert was number one. So I kind of used all that. I created my own formula. I didn't weight everything 25, 25, 25, 25. I think team defensive efficiency is the most important, because if you go back the last 10, 15 years, the team that finished fourth or better, that's where the player was awarded the NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, which brings us to this year. So where's the bet?
This year, the bet, to me, clearly, if you were to go through all these rankings, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's on the top defensive team in the NBA. He's number one in defensive win shares. He's number one in defensive box plus minus. And as of yesterday, after the Orlando game, he is now tied for number one in individual defensive efficiency. If you go back since 2009, 2010, there's three players that have finished number one in all four of those categories: Dwight Howard, Joakim Noah, and Giannis Antetokounmpo in 2019 and 2020. All four finished number one, and all four were the defensive player of the year.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation, currently 50-1 to win defensive player of the year. Now I ask you, does him being an MVP candidate, they're never going to give him both, right? They're not going to give him both. Where did you land on MVP?
Well, MVP is a little bit different. You're going through, I do a PER rank and a win shares per 48 minutes rank. Joker is number one in PER, and Shai is number one in win shares per 48 minutes. If you look at the betting odds, they're pretty much even. If you go through the years back to 2009, 2010, you can just go look at right at PER rank. And if you're number one, there's a strong possibility you're going to win defensive player of the year. If you're number one in win shares per 48 minutes, there's a strong possibility you're going to win, the MVP. You're going to win MVP that year. You're looking at like Joker last year was number one in PER, number one in win shares. The year he won it in 21-22, number one, number one, number one, number one in 2020-2021. Giannis, number one, you get my drift. Back in 2019-20, Giannis did win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
So it is possible. So you are.
It is possible. It's only happened three times in the history of the awards.
Okay,
it is kind of recent. Giannis did do it.
Yeah, and three is not zero. So there's that.
And I think there's a reason at 50-1. Yeah. I mean, like we're talking about with NFL awards, right?
50-1's worth
a flyer. I think this is a three-horse race for MVP. Even at this point, I know it's early in the season, I think it's a three-horse race. But if it's this tight late in the season, you could always do the easy, well, we could give Jokic MVP and Shai Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Who's the historical, when you were doing this, who was the historical MVP that you said there should be an investigation into how he won it?
Oh, there's no way. There is no way Derrick Rose should have won MVP.
Never.
They didn't want to give it to LeBron. LeBron finished third in voting. They didn't even want to even consider him because that would have been his third year in a row winning it.
Michael, food for thought. Thank you so much for that. And thanks for making all that effort.
Thanks, guys. Maybe in March I can come on. We can see where all the rankings are in the odds.
Let's absolutely do that. Michael Montesano, everybody on the show. Our NFL Power Rankings next.